When you're running late, like, do you ever feel anxious?
Every time I run late, I feel anxious.
Like, what does running late do to you?
When if I wake up late in the morning or I sleep through my alarm, it literally feels like I don't know if I've had a panic attack, but it feels like I'm heavy. Like, it's the worst feeling, crunchy.
You don't feel good.
I would say it depends on where I'm going.
Okay.
Intentionally.
Sometimes it doesn't bother me at all, which is really bad.
Like if you're going to the gym, you're like, I'm fine.
Yeah. Like if I'm on my own clock, yeah, it's fine.
But what about something important? You're late. You're running so late.
Like sweats.
Yeah.
Like hand sweating.
Let's say you're running late and you're in traffic, like unforeseen traffic.
I'm a mess.
What does you being a mess look like? Like, what do you mean?
Sweaty hands.
So it's physical.
Mm-hmm. Anger.
Verbal.
People on the road.
Verbal. Honking.
It's never their fault.
Yeah, no. No, but you're honking.
Not really honking, but like making comments to myself.
Why? Just go. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Yeah. It's wide open.
Like there's an HOV lane. Like just get over.
I love this.
I feel like you would honk a lot.
Oh, I'm just a mess. If I'm running late, it's just bad. It's all bad. There's a physical component to being late that you're like, probably not going to make it to heaven now. I think a lot of bad thoughts. I'm like, this is just, you're not going to succeed in life. I don't think you're getting in.
So do you speed? Like, is speeding, is the potential getting pulled over worth the speed?
Do I speed? Oh gosh.
Okay, good.
People get pulled over in LA.
Yeah, right. Exactly. If you get pulled over in LA, that is pretty remarkable. Yes. Like you've done something bad. I haven't been pulled over in LA in the 10 years I've been here.
I got pulled over once.
One time.
Cell phone. Not even speed. It was dead stop traffic. Literally, cell phone. My car's not moving. And I'm on my cell phone. Motorcycle cop comes.
Now, by the way, I get tickets all the time from the cameras.
That's different. That's different.
But I don't get pulled over.
Yeah, parking cameras. Yeah.
Yeah. Julia's like, you got three this month. I'm like, I just, I was on a, I was late.
Well, I love my city. I'm really trying to pay towards
the infrastructure. Yeah, it's unbelievable. No, but just the whole feeling of being late is just bizarre. Like, I can't wrap my head around the physical component to it. You physically feel it.
That's so true. Yes.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Totally. It's a whole body shutdown.
Yeah. How long does the recovery process take? Like you're late, you get there. Now you're having to calm down.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're having to like pretend like you weren't just like a psychopath on the freeway, on the 10. Like
wiping your hands.
Hey guys, good to see you. You know that 2 minutes ago you were out of your mind.
No, but running late for a plane, where you have to literally run onto a plane and you're sweating. Oh my gosh.
The airport, it's just, the airport's a situation.
Yeah.
Customs, trying to catch a flight from what? Yeah, just, that's a whole thing.
It's built for you to lose. That's what it feels like.
I'll never forget one time I was flying out of LAX at night. I was going to New Zealand. And the traffic was backed up like miles away from the airport. And so I had to get out of the car with my suitcase and run.
No, you didn't.
Because it's an international flight. So you got to be there early, mm-hmm. right? You're going to miss the cutoff. And I was checking a bag. And it's just like, I'm running. Like, I feel like I'm pre-Fontaine running through next to some Kia and Hyundai to get to my flight. I'm just the physical component to this is real. And that's why today on Leadership Leaning, we're going to talk about why you're always late. Let's go.
We've been working with one of our sponsors for a while now. Shout out to Overflow. Overflow has completely innovated the way people give, fundraise, and donate to organizations. How cool is this? They've innovated in such a way that you can give crypto, stock, wills. You can give in all sorts of different ways. And they don't just work with churches anymore. Now they've expanded any organization that is receiving funds. You should head over to overflow.co/LLI to book a demo. And I'm just going to say it. Head on over, meet the team. They're awesome. Even if you're not going to get a demo, you might as well meet them because they're the best people in the world. Head on over to overflow.co/LLI.
Welcome everybody to another episode of Leadership Leaning. We are leaning into the subject of leadership. Just Here's our goal, just to get a little bit better. We cannot promise perfection, but as always, promised progress.
That's right.
We are going to have a little bit of progress. Thank you to everybody that listens, watches, is on the journey with us, any platform that you're on. Thank you for being with us today. And do me a favor, right where you're at, hit subscribe. If you are on YouTube, subscribe to this channel. Leave a comment. Let us know where you're joining us from. Right before we press record, we were running a little bit late. Get it? We were running late. We went live on Instagram. People saying that they're leaners from Dublin, Ireland. I think New Mexico was there. Hawaii, people from all over. I was just in Sweet Home, Alabama.
Yes.
And people all over Alabama were telling me they're leaners. And I was just like, y'all sweeter than pie.
And they're never late.
They're never late. How could they be late? There's no traffic. I'm kidding. There was traffic in Alabama. And we are very excited because we have Maddie. That was the best thing I've experienced today.
Yeah, that was perfect.
Maddie is joining us today. Maddie, thank you for being on the pod.
Of course.
You're not from Alabama. You are from?
Georgia.
Now, in your opinion, is Georgia better than Alabama? Do you guys have a rivalry at all?
We do have a little bit of beef, but only when it comes to the SEC.
Only football?
Yes.
Football beef?
Yes.
You don't fight like over, we got the best barbecue or anything like that?
No. Not that I would know of.
Our Hobby Lobby's better than your Hobby Lobby.
No, but they're probably the exact same Hobby Lobby.
It's the same Hobby Lobby. No difference at all, Hobby Lobby.
We would find a reason to beef about it, probably.
You guys, our tacos just as good as your tacos. I don't know. I'm just thinking of our lakes. Would you fight over
maybe
lakes?
Lakes.
What's a good lake in Georgia?
Ooh, Burton.
Burton Lake is Burton. Better than Morton Lake. Lake Morton. I don't know.
I just get Martin. Colonel Sanders the whole time.
I know. Yeah.
Coffee.
No, I don't know if there's any good coffee.
We like Folgers coffee.
There is no good coffee in Alabama, is
no,
there?
No, stop. There's good coffee. I had coffee. Phenomenal.
Stop.
There's good coffee anywhere, Nate.
Yeah.
That's so rude.
Hey, I just want to take a moment to apologize.
Dude, I'm telling you, I had great coffee in Birmingham, Alabama. I'll tell you that right now. Is there good? It has to be good coffee in Georgia.
There is. There's a lot.
By the way, the thing about these beans and technology these days is they can go anywhere.
Anywhere.
Same with the machinery.
Right.
It's the baristas, though. They got to be trained up in the ways.
I'm pretty impressed, actually. You're not wrong. This is good.
The whole thing about life.
He drinks coffee.
Yeah, I drink coffee. Look at these accents. Maddie, you are from Georgia. You're how old now?
I'm just turned 27.
You're 27 years old.
Wow.
You're a former school teacher, English teacher.
Yes, middle school.
You used to teach middle school, which is a calling in itself.
Oh, so much fun.
You currently, at this rate of life, you are not dating a male.
No, I'm not
female.
Female.
No one dating.
You're not dating anybody.
Not dating.
Thank you for clarifying. You're not dating a guy.
I'm not.
Or anybody.
No.
And so, because when I was in Alabama, there were some young men there that were asking me about April.
Young suitors.
Some suitors. Ooh, that's a great word.
Suitors looking for courtship.
English teachers, man. They got a vocab. Like, that's just beyond. Wow, that was impressive. Suitor. There were some interested suitors, prospects, which come to find out, April is not on the market.
She's
currently.
Not.
Whoa.
Wow.
This is a big time whoa.
Yeah.
She's not on the market.
We need the opposite of the air horn for some.
Yeah, nothing official from April. April told me a great story on Sunday. She said this guy was interested in her before. But he talked to somebody on our staff and he was like, oh no, don't talk to April. She's crazy.
She's crazy.
What?
You don't want to talk to April. She's crazy. But I would say
in man scorn.
But I would say in April's defense, she admits it on the pod a lot.
With rocks.
She admits it.
Okay.
But crazy is a big term. That's a very broad That's not fair.
No, she's amazing.
I would say she's different.
Maybe you've seen her on the show New Girl.
Yes. Zooey Deschanel.
Yeah.
That's April.
Yes.
1000%. She's the best. But nevertheless, like April, April's off the market. You are. I'm just letting everybody know because there might be a couple of young men from Georgia or Alabama or Iowa Let's throw out Iowa. Wow. Iowa?
Some Cornhuskers.
What is there to do in Iowa?
Oh, I could think of five things.
Never been to Iowa.
I could think of five things right away. Drink coffee, play basketball, go to church, long walks on the cornfields, and more basketball. Pickleball, maybe. It's that great. Perfect. Iowa's got it. Yeah,
there's five things right there.
And perfect. Shout out to Jordan Montgomery in Iowa. One of the best leaders in our country, in my opinion. I love Jordan Montgomery. And even David Nurse got a little Iowa background. Shout out to Caitlin Clark.
Yes.
What? The number one pick last night.
Congratulations, Caitlin
Clark. In the WNBA draft. Yeah. This girl's pulling 14 million people watching her basketball games. Crazy. Unbelievable.
And showed up in her full Prada outfit.
Yes, she had Prada last night.
It was so
this sick. Is what she brings to the pod.
Yeah, right? but you see her Prada glasses. Yes, I thought Paige had a better outfit. The other girl with the Louis Vuitton bag and Vuitton sleeves. Mm-hmm. But the girl from Stanford that came to LA. Welcome to LA, Candace Brink.
Yes.
Yeah, Candace
Steph
Brink.
Curry's goddaughter.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Wow. Welcome to LA, Candace Brink. We're happy to have you on the Sparks. We'd love to have you on the pod, and we are just thrilled that you're here. I thought she had a really cool outfit. She's crushing her look last night. Yeah, WNBA is all the stars there.
I didn't realize it was like the Oscars red carpet.
Yeah, Angel Reed, the whole thing.
Maybe the first time.
We can name maybe two of the men's side, maybe two guys. Zach Edey, who's 7'9", and then the guy from NC State, the big old boy, the lefty.
Yep.
RJ or JR or DJ.
He's great.
He's good. Yeah. That's about it. Come on. But the girls. But I do think in defense of the men's side, this was a class. This was a unbelievable star-studded class. Outside of this, you got Juju from USC, but not a lot of Kiki from UCLA. Outside of that, there's not a lot of stars. I mean, there was a lot of stars last night that are going to the WNBA. Shout out to, by the way, my favorite player in the WNBA, two of my favorite players in the WNBA. Number one, Kelsey Plum. Shout out to you, a Husky, good friend of ours. We love you, Kelsey Plum. And then Elena Daldon. I love Elena.
Say it again.
I can't say. I probably messed it up. But Elena, my friend Adam trains Elena. She's a very nice person. We love Elena. Okay, let's jump into today. Speaking of college sports, today we are going to talk about 15 rules for life from Coach Jim Harbaugh, former coach of the national champions, the Michigan Wolverines, who beat the second best team last year, the Washington Huskies. We didn't play that well that night, but that's fine. And then right from the national championship game, Coach Harbaugh became the LA Chargers coach. Wow. So again, we got Candace Brink. All the stars are in LA.
Guess who's back?
Yep. Let's just be honest. All the stars are in LA. New York, who is your stars? Aaron Rodgers? Who's your star in New York? You don't have stars. Aaron Judge? You got... In LA, they just flock.
They're here.
True.
All we do is win, no matter what. So this is from the LA Chargers, Coach Jim Harbaugh. He hands out rules to live by, and I want to go through them. We're going to break down a few. Number one, here's the first rule for him. Seek first the kingdom of God. And I love that about him. He is a big, strong believer. He leads with faith. And number one rule for him to live by is seek first. And I just think that's good practice of putting God first.
Yep.
God in front of everything. I say this to my boys. I love you boys so much, but let me make sure you know where you come in my life. You are in third place, brothers. You get the bronze medal. Your mama, silver. Do I love the queen? But gold, number one for me is Jesus. It's God. It's living that God first life.
That's right.
So I just love that he starts with that. Number two, attack each day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind.
Wow.
Whoa.
I love that.
Is that strong?
Yeah, that's strong.
Wow.
An enthusiasm that is not just be enthusiastic, an enthusiasm that is unknown to mankind.
Out of this world.
Out of this world enthusiasm. Hit him with the bam, bam, bam. That's the kind of energy you got to bring every day.
Truly.
You got to bring that kind of like, we can do this. Let's go for it. Let's may have the best day. It's that can-do attitude, that can-do spirit. I just love, enthusiasm is to me like a lethal weapon in your leadership and your life. Number three, who could possibly have it better than you?
Yeah.
This is it. It, that to me has that attitude. The grass is not greener on the other side. The grass is green where I water it. Mm-hmm. And where I water it, I have gratitude. I am thankful. I'm excited. And, you know, there's a story about Jim Harbaugh's dad that he would always say to his boys, who has it better than us? And then the boys would shout back, nobody.
That's sweet.
Just that idea that it's like, nobody has it better than us. To me, this is a big deal. Mm-hmm. Coming from Georgia, do people in Georgia think like this?
I think some of them.
Yeah? There's a few?
I mean, yeah. I think that everyone has, you know, a different ideal of what they want for their life.
Yeah. But
I think like a lot of them, it looks different than people's lives in LA.
Yeah.
So like in Georgia, it's like, I'm surrounded by my kids and my husband and my job. And like, who could have it better than this?
But,
which is so sweet.
But to me, that's all that life like is right there.
Right.
It doesn't matter whether you, what state, mm-hmm. job, you know, position or status. Mm-hmm. It's that mentality of going like, who's got it better than us today?
Right. Yeah. I think the fastest road to wealth is reassigning personal value to what you already have.
That's right.
Right.
And if, as long as what you have, the value of it is determined by someone else, you'll always feel unwealthy.
Less than. That's right.
So you got to redefine that wealth for yourself. Mm-hmm.
That's right. And I think it just goes back to that attitude of gratitude where you just go on, man, I look at what we've got.
Right.
Yeah.
We've got it so good.
That's right.
Man, mm-hmm. this is amazing. And I like that because, you know, we say it all the time, comparison is the thief of joy. Right. So if I look at what they got, I'm always going to be feeling like less than, like, man, I wish. But to have that rule for life, man, nobody has it better than us. Number four, better today than yesterday, better tomorrow than today.
Yeah, that one's strong.
This man's got bars.
Jeez.
This is as promised, progress. Better today than yesterday. Yesterday, I didn't have it all together, but today I'm just a little bit stronger. Tomorrow, I'm going to be even better than I was today. So that is that constant pursuit of improvement and getting stronger and getting better. And to me, that's how we should live life. Number five, heroes have no days off. Is that one strong?
Yeah, that one's strong.
Yeah.
Well, how do you interpret that one, Maddie? Heroes have no days off.
I think it's just like waking up every single day and recognizing that there's something to do today.
That's right.
There's a problem to solve.
That's right.
There's a person to talk to. There's a smile to bring.
And I think that, because we could see this and go, oh, I have to work 7 days a week. That's not what it's saying.
Right.
No.
It's going like, even on my day off, there is still something to accomplish.
Right.
This is really cool. Last week I was in Alabama and on Friday, I played golf in the morning. And while we were golfing on this golf course, I ran into somebody that I knew and I knew that it was their day off. And I noticed them in their backyard working their tail off, picking up leaves, moving trees, tree branches around. And when we came around to see them, I was like, how you doing? And sweating and working. Now they're not in the office working, but they're working on their house. Your heroes, a hero has no day off.
Right.
There's something to accomplish every day. There mm-hmm. is a thing about mission and purpose. So even my rest is intentional.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Even my recreation, even my, you know, if I got to work on my finances or work on family time or whatever it is, heroes have no days off. Mm-hmm. It's everything about our life is deliberate. It's being intentional. It's living with purpose. It's maximizing. How about number six? Your fate is in your hands. Think, innovate, find solutions.
I think this is my favorite so far.
It's crazy.
It's really good. Your fate is in your hands.
Your fate is in your hands. To me, this is powerful because I don't believe putting my future in other people's hands in the sense that, oh, they're going to solve my problems and they're going to make my life better and they're going to make... No, I'm going to get up today and I'm going to think. I'm going to innovate. I'm going to find solutions. It's the whole thought, I'm going to pray like it depends on God and I'm mm-hmm. going to work like it depends on me. And where does God show up versus where I show up? I really don't know. Sometimes it's obviously that's God. And I never feel like that's me. But I just like this idea, this thought, think, innovate, find solutions. No one's coming to rescue you.
Yeah.
Right.
No one's coming to help you.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to, and God's giving you the ability to think and innovate. Have you found yourself ever where you're like, man, I've got to take my fate into my own hands?
Yeah, actually, this is, you know, we play Pig, River and I, my son, yeah. And we actually play Zoe. It's his favorite. Hey, can we play Zoe, Dad?
Yeah.
He's Z-O-E. And whenever he gets to his last letter, we do this thing called prove it. Do you
yeah, prove of course, it, right? Of course.
So I said, do you want me to prove it or you to prove it? And he always takes the shot.
Yep.
And he said, I'd rather miss it, but it was my shot.
That's right.
Than you make it. And I was just trying to teach him, hey, it's always better to have the ball in your hand at the end.
That's right.
Because your fate is up to you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Make the decision on your own.
That's right. Rather than waiting for some, you know, hero in your life.
Crossing I think it's, your fingers. And
yeah, like, no, yeah. Come on. I just always believe in this. This is a big one to me. Your fate is in your hands. By your talent and effort, you will be known. I like that.
Our next sponsor is a company called Belay. And if you have any staffing needs, any hiring emergencies, if you're looking for online assistance, Belay is the company for you. Not only do they provide top-notch professional service, but they have a special gift for you for all of our leaners. Head on over to the description in the link below, and we're going to get you hooked up with everything you need from Belay.
All right, let's jump right back into this episode.
Number 7, choose a great role model. Watch them. Emulate them, then make them proud.
The last Whoa. Part of that is really strong.
These I mean, are these are so just bars. Mm-hmm. The first time I heard this on a video. I was like, I'm going to apply these.
I'm stealing all.
Right.
Choose a great role model. Watch them, emulate them, and then go make them proud. Is this one strong? I just can't get over how... strong that last part is. Make them proud. So in other words, I think that a rule to live by is not just find a role model, but letting people know, hey, you're setting a pace for me. You're a great example that I'm following. Hey, just so you know, you're making an impact on my life. I think this speaks to relationship. Mm-hmm. Not just having these people out there on the internet, some guru on YouTube or, you know, but have someone in that you're in relationship with, that you can get close enough to them. I'm emulating them. I'm watching them. And then I'm going to make them proud about what I'm doing. That's a big one.
I think probably, Pastor Chad, you've been a lot of people's role models. And I know that's you would never say that probably, but through Leadership Lean In, through whatever influence it is, like what would be something that a leader could do that would make you proud of them?
Well, I think first of all, it's going back to what I'm talking about in relationship. It makes me proud when people reach out or lean in or show up or text. I'm never really thankful when someone says, I didn't want to bother you, so I didn't. That doesn't flatter me. Mm-hmm. That doesn't help me and it doesn't help them. I'm really thankful when someone says, can I get on a call with you? Hey, I'm going to fly to be there. I'd love to say hello. I feel like when people avoid you, it speaks of their insecurity. So I always think like if you're somebody's role model or they're emulating you, they're watching you, they're also trying to be in proximity to a certain really degree.
Yeah.
They're not bombarding you and being annoying, but they're at least secure enough, mm-hmm. intentional enough to show up. So that's where people would go. Like when I saw this, I thought of Chris Hodges. He is a role model in my life. I'm watching him. I'm emulating him. And even though I don't live in Alabama, I'm trying to make him proud. Mm-hmm. So when he asks me how things are going, I'm letting him know what I'm doing, what I'm up to, what I'm working on, what, you know, where the numbers are at, what, you know, and I could tell it makes him proud. Mm-hmm. So I don't make him proud by just watching and emulating. I make him proud. Also, the last leg is very important through the relationship of reporting and letting them know what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Having a good report ready to go.
Having a good report. Number 8, a smile. Being pleasant is a small price to pay for the goodwill and the affection of others. These guys are crazy. Being pleasant, I keep repeating them because they're just so strong. Being pleasant is a small price. It's nothing. It's a small price to pay for the goodwill and the affection of others. It's crazy how far a smile goes.
Truly.
You know, when I get up on Sundays, one of the first things I think about when I get up on Sunday mornings is I always think of the power of a smile when I step on stage, of how weaponizing it is.
Right.
It's so strong. It's so disarming. to smile. Smiles are contagious. Mm. So I always think the easiest way to win people over is to smile. The easiest way to let people know you're approachable is to be, yep. is to be smiling. Mm-hmm. The easiest way to let someone know you're friendly. So it's such a small price to pay for the goodwill and the charity of others. Mm-hmm. And I just don't understand why people don't put some more stock and inventory, more weight on their smile. It's a winning attitude. It speaks of levity. It speaks of security. It speaks of a freedom that you're living in. And I always find people that are slow to smile, it speaks of wound, insecurity, pain, offense, angst. I'd rather just smile, let everybody know I'm good. So I got something to add to your life.
Yeah.
Maddie, you love to smile.
You think so?
You're a smiler. Yeah. It's this.
I often think like I should smile more.
You don't feel like you smile enough?
No, I feel like I do. But like when I'm just like sitting or like standing, I feel like it's not as approachable as when I'm like intentional.
There's no worse feeling than what you're saying. That's the worst feeling. Hit him with, we got Nick Saban on deck.
You all may be taking the week off, but I'm not.
You think that guy smiles? He don't smile that much.
No.
That man's standing there like this. You think I'm taking a week off? No days off.
But I do think what you're saying is important, right? Like the way that you carry yourself, the joy that exudes from within you
is huge.
Makes you approachable. I said when I first moved to LA and I was trying to meet friends, I could automatically tell if I was going to jive with someone based on their warmth.
That's it.
That's the only way I could describe it.
And I think that your smile speaks physically, exudes your warmth.
Right.
It's a bat signal that says, I am not insecure. I am not weird. I am not sideways. I'm not gonna try and manipulate. I got a happy heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a physiological response when you smile, make eye contact with people.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That causes their brain to fire neurotransmitters to disarm
tension
or you know, they want to be around you, but it also does the same thing for you.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So like if you're in a bad attitude, you're depressed, looking in the mirror and smiling at yourself.
There you go.
Literally right. There unlocks you go. Joy in your life.
There you go. Number 9, discipline yourself daily to be physically fit for life.
Oof.
Man, do I love this. Wow. Discipline yourself daily to be physically fit for life. Yesterday, Monday mornings are a terrible disaster for me. I do not enjoy Monday mornings. I want to divorce Monday mornings. But I got my lazy big old behind out of bed and I got on my Peloton and I ran my 3.5 miles and I sat in my sauna and I sweated out my ice cream and I feel better about my mm-hmm. life. And I just think you daily discipline yourself. Today, after the office, I'm going to drive straight to Orange Theory Fitness. I'm going to get on a rower and do lunges and burpees. God, I hate it. I love the tread, but the rest of it is so hard. Mm-hmm. But discipline yourself daily to be physically fit for life. It's that whole thing. It's that I'm fit for my life, that my life has a big demand. Mm-hmm. So it's not that I'm physically fit for the beach and I'm physically fit for a photo shoot and I'm physically fit for, you know, to be impressive. I'm physically fit to live my life.
That's right.
For all that life has. I just think you talk about physiological. Sure. So much of that, it's like what Julie and I always say is like, I don't work out so I can look good. I work out so I can feel good.
Yeah. That's right.
I'm not on the treadmill Monday morning so I can reach a certain goal physically, really. It's more about my mental capacity. Mm-hmm. I want to be physically fit for life. Number 10, great effort equals great results. And I just like that. It goes back to another one earlier. But the greater your effort, the greater your result. So if you're not happy with your results, I would usually trace it back to your efforts in that category because the more you invest into it, the more you're going to see it rise. So great effort equals great results. So don't be mad at your results. Always look back at how much time did you put into that? How much effort, how much strategy, innovation that was part of, you know, finding solutions. So if you want those results, which we all do, we're all result oriented. Great. Then I can control my effort. And that I know that if I just apply myself a little bit more, I'm going to get a greater result. Number 11, stop trying to win all your fights in the first round.
Wow.
Is that good? Stop trying to win all your fights in the first round. Have you ever tried to do this?
Unfortunately, yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And what does that look like to you? Trying to win it in the first, like being quick. How does that work out in your life and leadership?
Yeah, I think there's like a level of energy expenditure right up front.
Right.
And there's nothing worse than just watching someone fizzle out, you know?
That's right.
Life's a marathon. Most things in leadership, everything great in life takes time. And, you know, putting everything up front and then just not being able to follow up because you weren't able to manage your energy well.
That's right.
Is, you know, unfortunately, you see this in everyone. They get excited about financial health. They get excited about their health.
That's right. You know,
their physical health, whatever it is. But because they don't have a long-term solution or plan or the stamina to continue to do those things.
That's right.
Then they're even worse off after the first round.
That's right. Because they quit.
Yep.
I also think when you're like quick to say or quick to respond, usually you're responding wrong.
Yeah. Or, that's right.
You know, you're not just conscious in what you say or what you're thinking or what you're actually feeling. A lot of times when you're having to process things or, you know, it takes you time to actually understand where am I? What do I want to do? What's my motivation in this conversation or in working towards being better at my finances or whatever it is? It takes time for us to process and then figure out what's the best way to go about this.
So good.
So the determination throughout that is what will help him be successful.
There you go. The determination. I think to me, when I think about this one, it reminds me of James Clear, the compound of consistency.
That's right.
And I can't win my parenting in the first round. I can't win my marriage in the first round. I can't win Zoe Church in the first round. Leadership Lean In. I didn't win Leadership Lean In episode 1, 2, and 5.
Right.
We're just now figuring out a good flow and... We've lost April to her new boyfriend and, you know, but Maddie from Georgia's on here and they just discovered coffee.
What if I talk like that the whole
time? That'd be crazy. No, stop.
That'd be crazy.
But, you know, it's like, this one brings relief to me. That's right. Mm-hmm. As promised, progress. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get just a little bit better. I'm better today than yesterday. Better tomorrow than today. Mm-hmm. You know, just all that stuff, just seeing that big picture that Rome wasn't built in a day. It was a quote I've said 155 times. Greatness doesn't happen in a day. It happens daily.
That's right.
Just that daily commitment. I love that one. Number 12, what we do echoes in eternity.
Man, are you sure this guy doesn't have a ghostwriter?
These are bars.
So good.
It probably collected these for so long. And, you know, what we do echoes in eternity. And when I first read that, the first thought I had was Ravi Zechariah, if I could be honest. Mm. Ravi Zechariah, who, of course, one of the greatest Bible teachers, you know, that our world has ever seen, and great apologist and incredible author. And then when he dies in shame, we discover what some things that he had done while he was alive, and it will echo in eternity. And I just think, you know, it's smart for us to realize that there is a generation coming behind us that will live in the blessing or the curse of our life.
Right.
That my life is not just about me. My life is about what comes after me. Mm-hmm. And you look at a person like a Billy Graham and the weight of blessing that his family walks in because of his integrity and his character. That's an example. But I can think of so many other people and so many other great men and women that have laid a foundation for their future. I always think the picture I like is that the ceiling on my life will be the floor for my boys.
Yeah. Mm.
And just knowing that what I do will echo forever in eternity makes me excited to get up today and attack the day.
That's right.
And not just live aimless and wandering and for self-indulgence, but for something bigger than myself. Mm-hmm. That's such a big one. How about number 13? Seek long and trusting friendships by being happy and helpful for the other guy's success.
I love that.
Can you say it again?
Yeah, I got
you. It's so good.
Here's how you seek long and trusting friendships. Here's how. If you want long and trusting friendships, you can do that by being happy and helpful for the other guy's success. Mm-hmm. If you become a hater of your friend's success, you lost that friend. Mm-hmm. How do you lose a friendship? Hate on your friend's success. But the way to have long and successful friendships is by being happy for your buddy's success.
That's right.
And going like, I'm so happy. I'm going to cheer for you and celebrate you like I was cheering for myself. You know, I was reading this morning in my read through, and it says about Jonathan and David that their souls were knit together and they loved each other like themselves. I just thought that was such powerful language. It's like, you know, you got a friend when there's not an intimidation or a competition. It's like, we're one. Mm-hmm. That's what marriage should be. I will never forget, a few years ago, I was in a green room preaching at a church, and I could tell that the husband and wife were in competition with each other. And I just thought it was so bizarre that you're competing with each other. You're one. The two shall become one.
Yep.
So weird. I think find some friends to celebrate and get excited about their wins.
I think you know you have a good friend when you're not winning, they speak to when you have won in the past.
There you go.
I have a friend who once, I was going through a lot within the past 7 months, and she was like, you know, think back on your life. When has it not worked out for you?
Yeah.
And I was like, that was really like, thank you so much.
Wow.
Like I needed that. Like, in wow. this, you know, I wasn't, didn't feel as if I was winning.
Yeah.
And she's like, you're over and over and over, the Lord has shown up for you.
Come on.
He will again.
Come on.
And you will show up for yourself because you always have.
Come on.
And I was like, wow.
That's a trusted friend.
That's a good friend.
You know, at the end of the day, you got to find trustworthy people around you. Trust. I trust you. And to get to be trusted is the highest honor of life. Mm-hmm. I trust you with my, I'm okay with my kids being around you. I'm okay. I trust you with the secrets of my heart, that the stuff I'm struggling with. I can be vulnerable. I can be honest. What's a better friend than that?
Right.
The longer you've been in leadership, has it become easier or more difficult for you to trust people?
Well, I think that's to answer your question, harder. Mm. And I think that is the key to life, is to stay trusting. Mm. Mm. To never allow your experience with people to jade you to where I can't trust anybody.
Yeah.
I think that is a cruel, shallow way to live, not trusting others. Mm-hmm. God designed us to trust. Mm-hmm. So I would rather look at my life as I want to be trustworthy to people. And the more I am trusted, I understand what I'm looking for. I'm actually trying to be the friend to people I'm looking for. Because I know I will never reap what I do not sow.
Yeah.
How could I ever reap loyalty if I don't give loyalty?
Right.
How could I reap trust if I don't trust? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's a big deal. And I think, you know, when you get that big, whatever, fill in the blank, you know, that check, breakthrough, number, what, fill in the blank. Who are you going to call? It says more about you when you have nobody to call, when you've won. I think it's crazy to win in quiet. God, I got nobody to call.
Man, that's not winning.
That's not winning. That's not winning.
That's not winning.
It's you're not winning. I wish I could tell somebody. No. You live life wrong. Mm-hmm. The way that you do that, seek long and trusting friendships by being happy and helpful for the other guy's success. Two more. Number 14, the best customer is a satisfied customer. The best customer is a satisfied one. When I saw this, it made me think of all of our partners at our conference and thinking, I hope Convoy of Hope is a satisfied customer. I hope Child Fund is a satisfied customer. I hope Compassion, I hope ARC, I hope Life Bible College, Life Pacific College, I hope all of our partners are satisfied customers. Because otherwise you're using people. Mm-hmm. And no one wants to be a customer that's like, man, they finagled me. Mm-hmm. Man, they used me. They got me. They sold me a bad product. A great customer is a satisfied customer. When I stand up to preach on Sundays and I got 35 minutes on the clock, I'm believing every time I stand up that when people walk out the door, that I'm glad I heard that one. Mm-hmm. Mm. I'm glad I came to that.
That's
one.
Right.
That one was for me. That one, whoo, I'm a set. It rather going like, I don't know. Didn't really connect. Didn't really make sense. No, it's got to be a satisfied customer.
Yep. Right.
Last one, number 15. Treat others as you would want to be treated. This is the golden rule.
Golden rule.
And I just love it. You know, we actually do have high expectations on others. We do expect, whether you verbalize it or not, you have expectations of other people. And I just, every time I am disappointed by others, I have to look in the mirror and ask myself, how am I treating other people? Because I can't ask people to do what I'm not willing to do. And a lot of times I'm just reaping what I sowed. And so rather than put all the problems on them, it's great to challenge ourselves going, am I treating people the way that I, am I talking to people the way I would want to be talked to?
Right.
Am I giving people a heads up and enough time? And am I, cause I know how I want to be treated, how precious I am in my feelings. Am I sensitive to what other people are going through? So I think this is a real powerful one. So 15, were these tremendous?
So strong.
Right?
Crazy. Every single one of them.
Crazy. I felt like there was like three per.
Yes.
Like, oh, that's good. Oh, it's still going. Whoa, this is really good.
It's like, who, like you said, did somebody write this for you? Yeah. He hands this out to his players.
Wow.
Jeez.
No wonder why you win a national championship, because we know winning doesn't start on the field.
Right.
No. It's in the culture. It's in the locker room. It's in the team meetings. It's like you build a culture off that stuff. Oh, that's bulletproof right there.
It's so good.
That's championship type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we love you. We're for you. Thank you for being a part of our... We're not a big nation, by the way. We are not a big nation. We're a small nation, but we are the leaner nation. By the way, we love you. Again, thank you for everybody that shares the podcast, subscribes to our podcast. Do me a favor, hit subscribe on YouTube or on Spotify. Don't miss any of the podcasts that come out. Leave a comment for us. Share it on social media. It means the world to us here at Leadership Lean In. We love you, and we'll be back next time.